Blog Talk Radio. Welcome back. Glad you could join us for Sound Health Options for another edition. We were formerly breaking the sound barriers of disease, so that's probably the last time I'll mention it because we've been changed for the last three shows. We did that as a request because people thought we didn't want to talk about disease, we want to talk about good health. So I agreed with them and we changed it. That music that you heard was by James Marshall. A very special piece of music that you might want to keep in your medicine cabinet instead of on your music shelf, but we'll talk about that more in a minute. I'm Sherry Edwards, your host. Glad you could be here with us. I'd like to share a little bit about our attempts at being or offering better options to the world. I'm going to expand on that a lot today. It is February 28, 2010. We are coming to you from the studios of Sound Health and the Institute of Bioacoustic Biology. We are the largest alternative research center in Ohio, and our research centers around vocal profiling. We take a sample of your voice, and we look at it, and we look at the frequencies, and from all the data that we've gathered, we've been able to look at sound and the frequencies in your voice as, I don't want to say a diagnostic and treatment modality. I want to say we just look at this in terms of being able to help your body obtain optimal health. I don't want to get in trouble with the FDA about diagnostic and treatment. They're just really coming down hard on a lot of people, so we have to be careful. But our lawyer says that we need to say, nothing in this show is intended to be medical advice. Any such claims by anyone will be denied. We're here to gather data, and if you get well, that's your problem. Okay, back to about that music that you might want to keep in your medicine cabinet. James Marshall, who was the star on Twin Peaks and Gladiators and Few Good Men and lots of movies, wrote that. And he wrote it because he wanted to help, which is something we're going to talk about today. He wanted to help people use bioacoustics in a way that would help them make their lives better. He had taken a medication and nearly killed him. He was in the hospital in and out for nearly 2 years, and when he got out, well, they really sent him home to, you know, go home and die because there's nothing else we can do. So he called us and said, can you help? And I said, well, I don't really know. Let's try. And we were able to help and able to help him gain weight again and be able to eat the things he needed to eat because what this pill, this pharmaceutical pill had done was dissolve his large intestines. That's incredible that there could be that kind of side effect and these people wouldn't know it. Big Pharma wouldn't know it. But as we talked about last week, there's this guy named Rubin that faked all of his data for the drug company, so we don't know what to believe anymore. But when James came back to us and said, you have helped me, you have saved my life, what can I do for you? It's when all this flu stuff was coming out last year, and we were all being threatened with it. I said, well, we have figured out the antidotes biofrequency of all this flu stuff, and we have figured out all of the things for people's immune system that would allow them to be better. And we tested it, and sure enough, we were able to reverse swine flu, I want to say confirmed Tamiflu-resistant swine flu for a very small group. And so we started using these frequencies, and James created that music. You can download it. We have found out not only does it work with swine flu on an experimental basis, I have to add, but it works for sinus infection kind of things. It works for bronchial and lung stuff. Play it. I think it's about, the track's about 10 minutes long. But a lot of people have been using it. A lot of people have been sending us information about how it's working and how well it's working. It sounds to me to be very discordant, but at the same time, it's stuff that goes together. So what we gave him was very strange frequencies, like, oh, C-sharp plus 12%, which means 12% sharp, and B minus 50%. You know, things that weren't in the same scale, and I don't know how he managed to put it together in this way, but he did it, and we're going to be doing more. The next one we suggested is one for your sex life, so we'll see how that turns out. I have been getting an email all week about the swine flu. That's why we played this and brought it up. You can download this at Jimmy, Music Man Jimmy, J-I-M-M-Y. I want to spell that for you because you can spell that in different ways. So musicmanjimmy.com, and you can download that CD and stick it in your medicine cabinet because that's kind of where it belongs. We've got two pieces of information. Well, I got about 20, but two I want to talk about. They are looking to make the swine flu shots mandatory. The U.S. government, no excuses. They're saying it's a matter of national security. Yeah, right, just like it was a matter of national security on October 24th last year when Obama said, well, this is a national emergency, and we all know how that turned out. Less than 20% of the people opted to take these swine flu shots, and I agree with them. Now, I may end up getting arrested like Kevin Trudeau for inciting a riot of some kind and saying, don't take these shots, they're untested, and I believe that they're unnecessary because I don't really believe there's a swine flu epidemic. You can watch the stuff in the other governments around the world and see what's happening. In our own state, Columbus health officials anticipate third wave of H1N1. And now they're saying where before, everybody before 1947 was probably immune. Now they're saying, oh, no, everybody has to get it now. Well, there is an option. One is musicmanjimmy.com. And another one that we're going to talk about before the day is over here in a big way. I think the government is asking for a revolution. Constitutionally, the government can't intervene in individual health rights, but they're doing it anyway. And there's going to be an article come out about James Marshall. It's due to come out, I think, on Tuesday or Wednesday. And it's all about his life and what they did to it and how the medical establishment failed him. It's just going to be an incredible story. Okay, today we're going to talk about macular degeneration. And that is an eye disease in which you lose part of your vision, like there's a gray or a dark spot going on. Now, we have a guest coming in, Bob, and he's going to talk about this as a firsthand experience and what he watched. He's going to be joining us a little later. Remember that if you want to talk to me or talk to the audience after you call in, I think it's you have to push 1. and that'll give me a little signal on my board here. And we also have a chat going on. Where's that music available? Somebody is saying again. I will post it. Music Man Jimmy.com. I'm posting it on the chat. I've also posted on the chat where an article is. It's way up the top, so just scroll up there, where an article is about macular degeneration and some of the things that we've been doing. This is Prevent Blindness Week, month maybe, and Age Onset Macular Degeneration Low Vision Awareness Month. So we're going to talk about that in just a little bit. But I have something so exciting to talk about. The center that sponsors us, the Institute of Bioacoustic Biology, does research all the time. And for the last 2 weeks, we have been doing research on pancreatic cancer. A friend's wife ended up with pancreatic cancer, sort of as a surprise. And, you know, it doesn't have a lot of symptoms before you get the disease. You get it, and it acts very quickly. So we've been doing a lot of research about this. We found out that with familial pancreatic cancer, if it's in your family, we have found a frequency, a gene that is susceptibility to this pancreatic cancer, and we know the frequencies. We can predict if you have this gene ready to activate. We want to do more research on it, so if anybody out there knows anyone with pancreatic cancer, please have them get in touch with us. You can use my email address. I will put it up here on the chat for you. I'm typing and trying to talk at the same time. I'm going to put a little pound sign there so that you can change that out, so somebody doesn't trawl my email address and I'll get thousands of things here. Patrick Swayze died within the last year, I think, with pancreatic cancer. Michael Landon, for those of you who are old enough to remember that. But we really would like to be in touch with more people to see if we can reverse this. And I have a particular interest in it. My father died of pancreatic cancer. So we're still working on it, and this is the kind of thing that we do at the research center. So those of you who think that pancreatic cancer is in your future, there are things that you can do, and I just pulled this off of the internet. Your age, the older you get, the more likely you are to be susceptible to it. Smoking increases your chances. Diabetes, alcoholism, more males get it than females. It's in your family history. If you have a family history of gallstones. So any of those susceptible, we're going to try running you through our database to see if that frequency is in your voice. And remember, for those of you who want your voice done, you can go to Nutra, N-U-T-R-A, Sounds, that's plural, Nutrasounds.com, and you can sign up to have your vocal print done. And in the little information section, there's four little things you fill out. Say, I want to be tested for the pancreatic cancer, and that's what they'll do for you. Okay, we're going to be talking about forming a new group, and that has to do with our question for today. And our question, we posted on the chat, what things are you most dissatisfied with that our government is doing recently? And then a follow-up question that you'll be better able to answer after the show. Would you consider yourself a barbarian? Okay, nobody's asked a question here. We're also going to be having guest Robert. Bob, I don't know if he's on with us yet. He's going to be able to be here about a quarter after. We'll wait for that just a little bit. And then we're going to talk about, if we have time, the request that we had last week, Tiger Woods. I did evaluate his apology, and you might be surprised what the real issue is there with that. Well, I could just go ahead and tell you a little bit about that now. He did it for a purpose. The overall view of his computer program, and I used the little nano voice that's available to all of you to download for free, and we'll even give you the little nano manual, and we're coming up with a new class for the nano manual. Those of you who want more than just to push the 6 buttons and get a report, how to do this on your own and to help other people. This is our way of helping get you started with vocal profiling. So I took that little program called NanoVoice, and you can download it at nanovoice.org, N-A-N-O-voice.org. And we really just put that up there to show people that the voice really does have information about them. And I'm repeating some information because we've got a lot of new people on today, as I can see by the board. So I used this little NanoVoice, and I ran through his apology. I don't know how long it was, 6 minutes or something like that. And it ended up being overall very emotional. Now, I did not expect that. You could tell a little bit by the way he was gulping and stopping and starting that was a hard thing for him to do. But I looked at 3 pieces of it. I looked at his apology to his wife, and that was real, but it was for a purpose. I thought it was very wise of him to be able to say, it's not by my behavior, or not by my words, but by my behavior. I have that, let me see if I can pull it up and look at what his stuff was about his wife. When we're looking at him talking about his wife, it talks about integration between appropriate perception and action. And that's in almost every one of his prints about this. And I really think that might be a major step for him, because a lot of people who are really famous and rich think that they don't need to walk to the same rules that we do. So he really did that for a purpose. He planned it. But it wasn't emotional. It was for the purpose of him getting that information out to his wife. Then he talked about he knows that he bitterly disappointed his public. And that was nearly the same thing, except that part of the speech was much more planned and much more constructed. He has the note of E, which is words, really high. And the note of F, just sky high, which means it's all planned, and it was all in the color of green, which it means that this was for an effect in the future. He also talked about that he was so sorry that he had disappointed people and his fans and the people who worked for him or with him, and that he had a lot to atone for. That was also green for some kind of future response, and he did it for a physical purpose. I don't know if it was for his sponsors or whatever, but where all of the emotion came in, obviously his wife has got to him. He has a real protective bent in his vocal print, but where he got very emotional was where there's one thing I want to discuss, he says. Elon never hit me that night or any other night. And he goes on to say, I don't know who would make up such a thing, and it was awful and blah, blah, blah. That's where his emotion came in. And his emotion came in about physical safetiness. So it feels like he's protecting her reputation. So when you look at, yes, he apologized to his fans and the people he's working with, that was all for a purpose, but it has really pushed his emotional buttons that his wife's reputation has been smirched. I will make this available to people. I just wrote it up this morning, so I don't have a way to download it to anyone in the chat room or anything else. Radine, aren't you sweet? She took the thing from up above where nobody could see it and put it down below and did it in bold. So very nice. Thank you for doing that. I wish I'd have thought of it. Would someone please repost a URL? Oh, that's good. Thank you guys for helping me take care of the chat. That's wonderful. Okay, we're going to go back to one of the first things that we want to talk about, and that is macular degeneration. About 250,000 people are diagnosed with macular degeneration every year, and it's blindness. That's one of the senses that most people are very afraid to lose. It usually happens to white women over the age of 65, and right now there's an estimated 1.75 million U.S. residents that endure this condition, from just a tiny spot to totally dark and loss of blindness. It's incurable. They think by 2020, the statistics will rise to almost 3 million people. Now, we have done several studies on this, and we've been able to reverse macular degeneration, and we've been able to find out what is really going on with people, what you need to watch for, and why there is such an epidemic of macular degeneration. I'm going to see if Bob is on the line with us yet. I am trying to open his mic. Bob, are you with us? Your mic is open.
Hi, Sherry. How are you?
Hi. I am great, and I love the story, your firsthand information about macular degeneration. Can you share that from, like, beginning to end, how you ended up coming to us and what happened with a member of your family?
Sure, absolutely. Approximately 2 years ago, my mother was diagnosed with macular degeneration, and of course her eyesight deteriorated fairly rapidly from that point. And one night I heard you on a nationwide radio show describing your discipline and what conditions you had had success addressing with it, and one of those conditions was macular degeneration. Now, this show's on in the middle of the night, and I had just serendipitously turned on the radio about 3 o'clock in the morning, and just happened to hear this. Well, of course, when I heard the words macular degeneration and success come out of your mouth, I jumped out of bed and wrote your information down, your website, and made a note of it. And The next morning, of course, I did an internet search just to see if there was anybody out there in the big world that, you know, thought this was charlatanism or anything of that. I'm naturally skeptic about anything at first. And,
you wanted to see if I was a nutcase, didn't
you? I wanted to see if you were a quack, yeah. And curiously enough, I found absolutely nothing. So in that regard, it was all positive. And so from that point, I just continued my investigation and talked to a number of your practitioners across the country. I even talked to one of your macular degeneration subjects who coincidentally also lives in Ohio here. I live in northern Kentucky, and he was very supportive. He claimed that he could not drive when he first started coming to see you. He said that his son actually had to drive him down to visit with you from Mansfield, Ohio. But as his sessions with you continued, he was actually able to drive himself. So that was kind of an interesting twist. So to make a long story short, I decided to investigate the cost of the potential therapy with you, and by the time I figured all that out, you actually, in one of my conversations with you during one of the free online classes that you offer, suggested that I strongly consider taking a course to learn how to do the therapy, which, to make a long story short, is exactly what I did. So once I became grounded in your discipline, I decided after a couple of months of study, because after all, you know, Howard Stern used to have a saying where he would make you swear on your mother's eyes. So when you're working with your mother in her eyes, you want to make sure you know what you're doing. So after a couple of months of study, I finally felt comfortable enough to begin working with her. And over the course of about 6 months, because she does live an hour and a half from me, so I'm not able to get up there frequently, but over the course of 6 months working with her, her vision has gradually improved to the point where last Sunday we actually had a bit of a breakthrough. I was doing some sound presentation to her, and all of a sudden her vision cleared to the point where she could actually focus on my face as I was sitting across the table from her, and she just exclaimed that, "Bob, hey, I can see your face." And she looked at some printed material on the table, and she said, "Hey, I can actually read these letters." So that night we were watching the USA-Canada hockey game. This was last Sunday. And she just said, I am just in amazement. I can actually see the puck on the television, and the colors are so radiant and bright. I can't believe this is really something. Then I talked to her yesterday, and her improvement has held steady. So I think we have found the proper sounds to get her going, and it's all very, very exciting, because as anyone knows who's familiar with this, it is deemed to be virtually incurable, but my experience and that of others would contradict that.
Well, what does her doctor say?
Well, her doctor has noticed an improvement. She said that he is no longer injecting her eyeball with a needle. He has also made the time between appointments to see him. It's gone from once a month to once every 6 months. He's noticed some changes in the structure of her eye, and she says she can actually feel that physically herself. You know, that's one nice thing about, one difficult thing with the eyes. It's hard. I mean, when somebody's arm hurts and they can't move it above their shoulder, and you give them tones and all of a sudden they can move it above their shoulder without pain, well, that's something that you can see. You know, what the eye can see, the heart must believe. But you cannot get into someone's head and see what the improvement in their vision is. But there are, there are other clues. When I first started working with my mom, I took a Valentine's Day card she sent me that she had addressed me, and the lettering, her handwriting, was probably, each letter was probably an inch and a half high on the envelope, so that she could see the address that she was writing with magnification and a low vision aid. And I put that on my bulletin board just as kind of a goal set to see if, you know, this is where we're starting from. And when she sent me a Valentine's Day card 2 weeks ago, that lettering was cut in half.
Wow.
So I do actually have some visual evidence that her eyesight is improving. And that was, of course, before our breakthrough last Sunday, where she really experienced some clarity that she had not experienced previously.
Wow.
So that's been my experience, and frankly, where I work, there's a woman who is also experiencing some eye difficulty, and looking forward to starting to work with her to see if we can't repeat it. And
Bob, would you call the office and get what's called an AMSLER grid, AMSLER, and we'll send you several copies of it so you can look at your mom's progress.
Like graph paper with the little squares on it and the black dot in the middle? Yeah.
Yeah, do you have that?
You know, I do. I do, and I believe she has one as well.
Well, just make copies of it so you're using the same one all the time, because that's how we look at the progress, and also from what the doctors are saying. And your mother is like one of 10 people that were having this great success with this incurable disease. Can you give a short little summary? Okay, you put the microphone in front of her face. What happens from there?
Well, from there I took a recording of her voice and I ran it through some of your proprietary programs that that broke the voice down into its various notes and octaves and showed where it was weak and strong in certain frequencies. And then I gave those the weak frequencies that in the program related to muscles in her eyes and also to the iris, and also some chemicals that are involved in the sight process. I gave them to, I tested some sounds on her to see how she responded to them, to see if she liked the sound or didn't like the sound, or if it made her feel relaxed, or if it didn't make her feel relaxed, or if she just liked, you know, she just liked it. And once we did that, once I determined, I'm sorry, and actually you also have a, there's a couple programs that you have. You have a general program, and then you also have a program that addresses eye issues. It's called Eye Watcher, so you actually have a specific program that you've developed for chemicals, biochemicals, muscles, et cetera, related to the eye itself, and ran her information through both of the programs and distilled the appropriate frequencies to give to her, and then presented that through a set of headphones. And the ones that she liked, I programmed into a small tone box about the size of a pack of cigarettes. And actually, it was during the testing phase, when we were actually experimenting and testing certain sounds to see how she responded to them, that she began to see my face and be able to read material on the table. And
how quick was that? Minutes?
It was virtually instantaneous. I would say within 15 seconds.
Good grief!
It was really. It was like if you've ever looked at. I guess it was. It was kind of like if you have a camera, just being able to bring everything into focus, from a blurry image to a clear one, fairly rapidly.
Then how long between then and when she could clearly see a hockey puck?
Well, that was that just happened later that night. That happened about 3 hours later after we found the sounds that improved her vision and let her listen to them for a little bit. We took a break and I programmed the sounds into a tone box so she could continue to listen to them and continue to strengthen the muscles and work with what was working. And we just happened to be watching the TV later, you know, about 3 hours later, when she just marveled at what she was actually able to see that she hadn't been able to before.
Did you believe it when it happened?
Oh, absolutely. My investigation of the folks that you had worked with previously led me to believe that it was possible. These people all seemed very genuine, very salt of the earth, very everyday people. And you also have some testimonials from several people. In fact, you have a DVD of some of the individuals that you have worked with giving their testimonials as to what their experience has been with working with you for their macular degeneration. So there are a number of individuals who will verify your work in this field and the fact that it has helped them And you know, these people are not paid for. They're just everyday folks like you and me. And you know, they're not movie stars or paid promotional people at all. They're not getting a dime for it. They just want to tell the world that what you're doing has restored most of their eyesight, if not all of it, and how miraculous that truly is.
Was this hard to do with your mom?
It was not easy. It was not difficult. It was just more, it just required a little patience. Being a relatively new practitioner, I wasn't able to be as proficient as, say, somebody like you or somebody with a little more experience. But for someone who was brand new, I mean, really, quite literally, had just within, you know, 60 days of finishing your classes, it was remarkable even from the very beginning that she saw. We had improvement from the very beginning, and it's been a gradual process. I think had I been able to work with her on a daily or weekly basis, it would have accelerated much more quickly than it has, but the fact that she lives an hour and a half away from me kind of kept it a little bit slow. It was not hard, no. It wasn't easy. If I would not tell somebody that it will be easy, but I will say if you are determined and just keep a methodical style and practice what you teach and apply the methods that you teach and just keep at it, that you'll see some results.
Well, does she have wet or dry macular degeneration?
Interesting enough, she actually has both conditions, one in each eye.
Good grief. Okay, yeah. Let's talk about that a minute. With the dry macular degeneration, the drusen, which is cholesterol that forms in the eye, gets in these in between these tiny, very fine little muscles. It's like phyllo dough. If anyone's eaten baklava or a croissant, how that dough is very, very thin. Well, the drusen piles up in either hard or soft little clumps of cholesterol and causes the distortion. With the wet kind of macular degeneration, the eyes, the vessels in the eyes break and bleed, and so that clouds the vision. Okay, from what we found, macular degeneration really starts in the liver. And if people could do some kind of liver cleanse, maybe with Silymarin or, you know, go to your health food store and find a liver cleanse or online. Therazyme, which is out of Wisconsin, Therazyme, has a really good support for the liver, just called LVR. You can call our office and get information about this too. And I'll post that number on the chat as we're going on here, 740-698-9119, and it's Eastern Time, Monday through Friday. When we begin to look at the muscles in the eye, we're becoming tired. So that's one of the things that we do. We look at the cholesterol, seeing how the body is dealing with cholesterol, clean up the liver, and if we support the muscles, usually we'll get this immediate reaction that Bob is talking about. But we also have to go back and look at the root cause of what's happening. So it is a progressive disease, and you really need to look at root cause for anything. That's one of the things that bioacoustics is really good at. The other kind, the wet macular degeneration, and that's where the shots were coming in, probably something like Avastin, excuse me, because something called VEGF, vascular endothelial cell growth factor, becomes a problem. And so that's what the shot is for. There's vessels in the eyes that burst, and the vessel integrity we found deals with selenium, and that's a mineral that you can get from Brazil nuts. And they talk a lot about this in any of the information about Dead Doctors Don't Lie, I think is the name of it, and about how selenium really helps the integrity of any vessel for aneurysms or whatever is going on. So in looking at that, and the other is the hyaluronic acid. And hyaluronic acid is spelled H-Y-A-L-U-R-O-N-I-C, hyaluronic acid. And that keeps the pressure in the eye doing what it ought to do. So we can look at all of those factors in this eye profiler that Bob was mentioning, the eye watcher. But we probably have 30 or 40 of these little programs, heart tracker, eye watcher, muscles, post-traumatic stress disorder, Parkinson's, so lots and lots of information. And they can run you through this eye watcher if you have a definite issue of what's going on, and you can get that done. Just call the office there, 740-698-9119, and just set that up to get a screening. The Robert, you know, I don't remember Robert's last name that's in the article. There's Pauline Ward, and she had wet macular degeneration. Dorothy Edwards, she had dry, and then Robert
Day.
Day. So that is the article that we have posted for you. We'll probably be adding to it. We've had a very famous author come to us and helped reverse her macular degeneration, Bob's mother, several other ones. People don't have to deal with this anymore. Conventional medicine says this is incurable, and there's nothing that can be done, except now for the wet with some of the Avastin and some of the other things that they inject right into your eye. I really have a problem with that. But I guess if I was losing my vision, I'd do it. Because they don't numb your eyeball or anything. They just, you know, this little teeny needle. But they inject something in there to try to keep this this VEGF from really causing havoc inside the eyeball. But even VEGF, if you trace it back, it goes back to the use of niacin, a B3, and niacin has a lot to do with the ability to properly use cholesterol. And we have a whole computer program about cholesterol, because with all of the bad food and fat food and all this artificial fat stuff, cholesterol in your body's ability to use it is fastly becoming a big issue. I mean, look at all the overweight things. Look at how macular degeneration is building up. We also have three weight programs, BioDiet, and then an older one, Bodies in Balance, that looks at all of your ductless glands. The BioDiet looks at your neurotransmitters. And then a new one that we just did, the HCG, human chorionic gonadotropin, that people are being very successful in losing weight. If you can't get to the link that Radine put on the chat, it's also in the description of the show today, and it's also in the new Journal of Bioacoustic Biology. We just released that. I think we talked about it last week. Go to the website, JBAB, J-B-A-B, justicebadappleboy.org, and go down. You'll see the originating issue there. We keep that there because it has so much foundational information, but right below that it says current issue. Bob, anything else you want to add about your mom?
Well, Sherry, in closing, I would just simply like to elaborate on what you said as far as macular degeneration being claimed by the history of medicine thus far to be an incurable condition, and we certainly do not claim to cure it. We would just say that our research so far has shown that with some individuals it has produced improvements in their vision, and that's their problem. So, you know, there's no guarantees, and we certainly don't claim to cure it, but our research has shown so far that it has helped some individuals improve their eyesight.
Absolutely.
That's all we can say.
We had a little bit of a stumper last week or so. We thought a lady came in and she had histoplasmosis in her eyes, a disease from birds. But we were really able to help her also. We don't know what we can do until we try it. And so it's wonderful for your mother. My mother had it. I didn't have enough information to be able to help her. We were just kind of stumbling around and just starting it. We did improve her vision, but not to the point where we backed it all off. But I'm just grateful to be able to bring this kind of information to the public. Thank you, Bob.
You're welcome, Sherry. Have a great rest of the day.
Thank you. That was wonderful. And I'm going to bring up something now about what's going on in our country. The question today was, what do you think is the government's interfering with the most that you don't like? You know, last week our question of the day was about the soul because of our guest, Gloria Burgess. We had some great answers come in, some about that. Someone wrote Almighty All. Michael wrote us a long explanation, many different definitions, that we are the seeds of the universal soul. He explained that not even a dictionary knew what a soul was. So I guess we're trying to get people to answer questions that are kind of impossible. But I think it's very direct, the question that we have today about how is the government interfering in your life? You know, with the McCain bill threatening access to vitamins and supplements and Deshae and this threatened swine flu, that is such a big issue for me. There's another question here from last week, too. I don't think we're going to have time to answer it. I will mark that and save it for next week. But what is happening right now with all the things that people have sent us? Tommy sent us an article on Prohibition, that during Prohibition, in the 20s when they were trying to get rid of alcohol because the people were too stupid to govern them themselves, the government actually resorted to poisoning people. And thousands of people died from this. And then we get this stuff from Columbus, Ohio, that there's an anticipated third wave and they're going to force everybody to take these shots, whether they want them or not. No excuses, not even a doctor's excuse. It's like sacrificing virgins for a new crop. You know, they're going to kill off a few people, but that's okay because everybody else will be okay. You know, and someone named Richard sent us something, stood my hair on end, that they're going to take everyone's 401k, all their savings, and put it in a safe investment because Americans are being swindled and they're just too stupid to invest their own retirement. Rose sent us information about a new health bill that Americans are just too stupid to take care of their own. And she quoted the Constitution, that the government, the federal government, doesn't have the authority by Constitution to force vaccinations, to force us into national health care, to allow the drug companies to have an absolute monopoly to tax us for health care without any representation. All of that sounds familiar because if anybody studied American history, they can see that that's going on. You know, and all the stuff we talked about last week, Pfizer faking more than 20 studies. And people were out there taking medication and saying it was safe based on falsified research. You can't trust these guys anymore, but I have an idea. I think what's causing this absolute abundance of information about our health rights needs to be taken to the public in a way to give the public options. You know, last month I did a presentation with Ralph Husatola, Kevin Trudeau, Rima LeBeau, Bert Stubblebine, probably some of you recognize some of those names, And we were talking about options, and Kevin Trudeau wants to sue the government, and other people want to fight, and get this done, and numbers to Washington. And I'm just not a fighter. You know, if somebody comes at me, I'll fight. What I decided to do is not just talk about it, not just write my senators and congressmen, and I've done that. What I want to do is to offer the research that I own that's being done at the Sound Health Research Center. Not just talk about it, do something. And I haven't really thought all of this through completely, and I want to ask your help in getting it done. I want to start a group, Guardians of the People. And the reason I want to do it this way, I have to go back and give you some history. In 122 AD, a ruler called Hadrian built a wall in what is now England, but Rome had come in and run over England, or what's now England. And there was people in the north that wouldn't mind, wouldn't pay attention to the new government, wouldn't pay the taxes, killed the representatives that came in and said, you got to do this, you got to do this. Now, I'm not for killing people, but I am all for ignoring them. So this Hadrian built this wall, 20 feet high, 10 feet thick, to keep what he called the barbarians away from the masses that he had already subdued. These barbarians would not bow down, would not pay homage. And I think that's where we are today. And he called them barbarians. If I'm going to go against what the government is doing, and I know it's bad, and it's against the Constitution, and it's against the law, I am very happy to be called a barbarian. I've just had enough. And I think thousands of Americans feel the same way, that our civil rights, our health rights, are being ignored at every turn. And we've tried peaceful means to change the existing system just by sheer numbers. They ought to know by now that we're not happy. And with dissatisfaction comes change. And with change, you have to have options. We've made incredible inroads, but it's not enough. I think it's time we took matters into our own hands. Instead of trying to fix the tired and broken system, let's create a system of our own. The issues that need to be addressed are personal legal rights, state rights, freedom of information, constitutional freedoms, quality of our food and water, the right to breathe fresh air without paying for it. You know, they're trying to tax people $50 a person to breathe air, even though the research was flawed and proven to be wrong. I think we need the right to nullify laws that are made by agencies that are unfair and unconstitutional, and the ability to nullify laws that are not in the best interest of the people or the economy, or our choice to invest our money where we see fit, our tax rights, our respect from those we elect. The list goes on. Many people are organized toward these goals, but there's no group organized to look at health. And my interest and journey is in that forefront of self-health as we move toward self-responsibility. I know that we can achieve optimal health and wellness. Just listen to Bob's story, and there's hundreds of those. If you come to our office, or we'll send them to you, they're plastered all over the walls of people that we've helped. And it's just time that health becomes the priority of health care. So I have a proposal. I have put together a PowerPoint presentation to look at this and show how we can turn it around as a group. And I'm going to call this group Guardians of the People, and it's Health for the People by the People. We've already been labeled malcontents, when actually we're just independent thinking, visionary barbarians. We can do this. We can look at better options. The fact that people are disgruntled and dissatisfied means there needs to be a change. So I plan to put something together, at least in the beginning, on three fronts. Alternatives to forced vaccinations that are a threat to our genetic future. Support of the returning soldiers that have been damaged and are now neglected. And then create a system of community through organized and informed health choices. Somebody just wrote on the chat, is the music, it's LaCille. I've not heard Signs of Life, but I will go in and check on that. Okay, back to this rant I'm on here. I'm going to call the vaccination one vaccination, reparation, and renovation. That means I want to get in touch with people that have been damaged and people who are thinking about having vaccinations, so that we can use these computer programs we've invented. And the one for this is called PreVac, pre-vaccination risk factors, because they're scaring the American public into taking these untested vaccines. And now they're threatening to force us. They've already done some of that in court. I think it was in New Jersey, maybe New York, where they marched these kids and their parents to school with guns and dogs and vaccinated them. You know, it's just time to get the greed out of health, and it's just a scam. The public is being scammed, cornered, coerced, forced, one by a law that's unconstitutional, and there just ought to be something we can do. We can't. Maybe people, some people can. Go out and march on Washington. My real thing I want to do, I want to see to it that an alternative president is elected, and then we just follow that and leave them over there in their swamp of mud and yuck and untruth to just wallow and do whatever they want, but we're not going to pay attention. We are the barbarians. We are going to build the wall here to keep them away from us. So vaccine reparation and renovation, if any of you are interested in helping put that system together, please, please get in touch with me. And I will put my email, I already did put my email address up there. It's Sherry Edwards, Sherry with an A, Edwards at gmail.com. Also, to create a better tomorrow for today's wounded soldiers, one in five of these soldiers coming back is attempting suicide. We just did a project with the government for traumatic brain injury of being able to look at the extent of injury for closed head injuries from these bombs, and then also for PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. We have the information. We have the computer programs. We need somebody to help us organize a national project that we can take this information to the public, train every little community to have this kind of information available, and just leave these other guys out of what we're doing. The other is health for the people, by the people. Let's become the guardians of the people by establishing a network of trained technicians who are interested in co-creating community health and wellness. They're giving me a signal that we're off in 60 seconds. I'm going to go on. This is too important not to. We have a series of all of these programs. Parkinson's, we'll soon have one on adrenal burnout, of cancer, of anything that you can imagine, we can build. Now, so far we've done all of this on our own funding. It would be great if somebody would come and say, I'm going to fund all this. I'm going to fund all this education for everybody. I would love it. I would do it in a heartbeat to get this information to the people. Imagine all of those little community centers everywhere. So if you think you've been exposed to the swine flu, and we already have the program, you can go see. If you think you're going to have to be forced into a vaccination, we can see what would help prepare your body better and to undo the vaccination damage after they forced you to do it. We can have a mix and match program where all of these at-risk populations, returning soldiers, swine flu, vaccination rehabilitation, weight management, muscle trauma, all of these things by creating a group, and it's going to have to be a private group to keep the government out of it. And I'm going to call it Guardian of the People. We're getting a website up right now, and it's going to focus on the health of the people by the people. You guys will be out there in the field helping people. I'm going to call for a group organization to help put all this together because I don't know what I'm doing. I've never done this before, but I am so passionate that this is going to happen. Change isn't going to happen without options, better options. And as I said, no one right now has come together to fund this. We're going to have to do it. So I'm going to put together an organizational class. The audio went away. Why are they doing that? They're supposed to keep talking here. Show is on but not streaming. So those of you hearing me on the phone, I'll go back and talk to chat. Those on the phone can still hear. And they can go to archives. Go to archives and hear the rest. So please write to me if you're interested in this, in bringing better options to your family, to your community, to your nation. I'm open to ideas and suggestions. And we're going to talk about forbidden knowledge. We're going to talk about the mysteries of life, the way to sustain ourselves. And I know that people who want to make a difference will come forward and be part of this. I'm getting all kinds of messages here that we're not streaming, nothing is going anywhere, just people on the phone can still hear us. I will put my email address up here again, sherryedwards@gmail.com. I know I sound like a soap opera here or a soapbox here, but I want to do this. I want to put this together for the community, and I'm going to do everything I can do to see that this happens. So please write to me. Please be involved. We can do this. I know we can do this. We can become those barbarians. We can become the guardians of the people. We can become a group that is health for the people, by the people. Thank you for listening. This is an incredible opportunity to be in touch with you. I'd love to hear from you. And remember that life continues to be a mystery, and no one on this planet, at least in this dimension, has all the answers. We're still going to be open on chat if anyone wants to talk. I'm going to play a little bit more music as we go out here, just so it'll make sense maybe to people on the show as they listen to it.